real quickly, because what I love about grace is this. We are a church that is all about the grace of Jesus, all about revealing Jesus, because any time that Jesus met people, and if he meets you this morning, and if you encounter him, what does he do? He always lifts you up to see the bigger picture. I love this. If you think about people who he meets continually, he doesn't leave them where they are. I am what I am, where I is what I is. He doesn't leave them there, but in fact, he lifts them up continually and points them. It's amazing. If you think about the woman who's caught in adultery, I mean, she's a mess, and she's caught bang to rights. What does he do? Does he come in and judge with a legalistic, pharisaical heart? He goes, no, you were born for so much more. And he lifts her up. What about the woman at the well? Okay? Does he go, no, you're right. You are the flipping village tart. He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say, I know I've been. He says, look, you were born for so much more. Amen. What about Zacchaeus? Born for so much. I mean, everyone who Jesus meets, when they encounter grace, they don't walk away feeling, oh my goodness, bad about themselves. They walk away feeling uplifted, don't they? They walk away going, isn't he good? He knows everything about me, but he still loves me. He doesn't judge me by where I am, but he points me to where he's called me to be. Isn't he a good God this morning? Isn't he a good father? And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk today, because the Lord said to me this week, he said, Andrew, for goodness sake, it's a bit like we had the joy. Where are they? Mr. and Mrs. Nicholson at the back. Look at that. Okay. We had the absolute joy of sharing and marrying John and Gillian a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago, whenever it was, some time ago. And it was such a great day. It wasn't it a brilliant day, okay? And it was such a joy to be able to share that with them. And one of the interesting things is when we talk about weddings and marriages, right? Most people think about the wedding. And when they're coming up to the wedding, it's all about the wedding day. But actually what we need to do is prepare ourselves for the marriage. Because the wedding is one day, but the marriage is forever. Isn't that right? Isn't it funny how what the world does, it goes, it's all about the wedding, all about the wedding. Have you got this? Have you got that? Have you got the other? But actually the whole point is this is going to go forever. And I want to talk to you about that today, because the Lord spoke to me this week and says, you know, grace, whenever you encounter Jesus and his grace and his revelation, he will cause you always not to stay where you are, but to always dream again. And there's people in here, listen, when we think about coming to the end of the year, what we do at this time, it's all Christmas, 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 boo, okay? I'm just joking. People on the internet, I'm joking. I love it, really. And I actually don't. And so... Like, there's no point in me lying, okay? I find it tiresome. So the whole thing is, right, but we get, at this time of the year, we go Christmas, 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 and the Lord's going 2017, 2018, 2019. So I want to challenge you early. We're not going to wait till we get to the top of the year to go, all right, Lord, give me a vision for this, because the Lord said to me now, don't let your dreams die now, right now. I'm speaking to you right now, and I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to show you. Because let me show you what the heart of God for you is. I love it. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, that was Adam, much more will those who receive what? The abundance of unmerited favor, his grace, and the free gift of what? Of righteousness. Will they reign in life? Anyone? Oh, if you look miserable, cup of dog. The abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, you're going to reign in life. You know what that tells you? That's about what God's doing in you and not what you're doing for him. He says, what do you receive? The abundance of grace. What do you receive? The free gift of righteousness. What do you do? Nothing, only receive, and then you reign. Oh, isn't that a good word? Through one man, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what God's heart is for you and why you need to dream again today. Therefore, it says in Exodus 6, this was God speaking into the people, Exodus 6, 6 to 7. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Egypt being a place of slavery and bondage. I'm going to bring you out. He says then, I'm going to rescue you from the slavery and the bondage. And I'm going to redeem you with what? My outstretched arm and with great judgments, great pronouncements. I'll take you to be my people. I will be your God. And then you shall know that I'm the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He's bringing you out of slavery into freedom, folks. All right, do you have a dream for that in your life? Do you have a dream for it? And I'll bring you into the land. This was the promised land that I swore to give to Abraham. Isaac, I am talking like a hypnotic book. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage, for I am the Lord. I don't know about you, but close your eyes for 1 minute, Okay, Penny, go for the purses, quick. That was a joke. What? Give him a good rattle of. Close your eyes, seriously. I want you to picture yourself this time next year, because I'm going to show you today Moses and Joshua and how they got to a place in their life and it looked different. Not because God treated them differently, not because God had it in for one and not for the other, but because of how they responded to grace. I want you to picture for me right now, okay? What does it look like for you next year? As you said at the end of 2017, what is it that you see? Some of you might not see very much, but what is it, if I asked you to dream right now, think about your family, think about your ministry, think about your home, think about your finance, think about your body, what does it look like? If I asked you to dream, what do you see? What do you see in there when you close your eyes and you switch everything else out? The Lord has a big dream for you. The Lord has a big dream for you. Sometimes it's good to go to the end and see and say, Lord, what is it that you've put in me? Where do I want to be? Because that gives us a good starting place. Now, back in the room. I feel like Kenny Craig, the stage hypnotist. You're back in the room. It's not in the eyes. Look at the eyes. Okay? Because I've never watched Little Britain. Somebody told me about that. People might say you're deluded, you're mad, you're mentally ill. I'm probably all three. But you know what? If God started something in your life and he started something in my life, if he started something in my church, then he's going to see it through. Amen? And I'm going to tell you here this morning, you need to dream again when you encounter Jesus, because not life, nor death, nor angels, nor the demons, nor your past, nor your present, or what you believe about your future, not the mistakes of your past, the criticisms and judgments of others, not your own weakness, will ever be able to stop you walking in the love of God and the purpose that he has for you. Why? Because he says, I'm going to redeem you with my outstretched arm and bring you to a place of freedom. Amen. Now, he's not going to drag you by the scruff. He's going to say, dream a big dream with me today. Dream a big dream, because I have not finished with you. The sadness for me is that many people don't make it. Those who continue in their dreams, those who continue, but their dreams die and they never see the light of day. And I want to talk about that as you go into 2017. And I want to say to this, you know what? That if you hear anything this morning, I want to speak to the people, okay, who are still standing. I said this during the week on a short video. I felt the Lord say to me, if you're standing or sitting today and you've been through a trial, then this is for you. If you're standing today and you've been through hardship, then this is for you. If you're standing today and you've been disappointed by God and by people, so you believe, then this is for you this morning, amen? If you've been through hardships and trials, if you've been through disappointments and through upset, you may have been punched a few times, but you're still on your feet and you're still saying, Lord, I'm still here, then listen to me, because grace is going to come and help you to dream again, all right? You're not going to limp into 2017, and you're certainly not going to limp through it, because that's not what the Lord does. He says, I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to bring you into freedom, and you're going to thrive. Amen? Oh, well, I'm excited about that anyway. Let me just compare two people for you, and they're two people who I really love. And it's a real example for us this morning. It's an incredible example. It's Moses and Joshua. Joshua, as you know, for those of you who know, is my favorite character after Jesus himself. And here's the thing. I don't want to get to heaven and meet Joshua and say that I wimped out. All right? Joshua, it was too hard. It was just too tricky. Do you know what I mean? There's that voice again. It was just too much, honestly. Living in 21st century Western world, with all my comforts, it was just too much. Couldn't do it. I've stood in the Valley of Shiloh, okay, where these guys gathered around the tabernacle, rough ground, desert for miles, and seen where he gathers them all together and goes, right, go possess the land. And I thought to myself when I was in Israel, did I tell you I was in Israel? When I was in Israel back in September, what would I have been like standing in the middle of that valley with my family gathered around me, all my worldly possessions, and him saying, go and possess. Seriously? We have it so easy at times. We need some of us need an attitude adjustment. We need to adjust the way we see things, because we're not even in the same covenant that Joshua was in. We have got a covenant that says, it's all already done for you. Now just rest and receive. There's no fighting to be done. The only fighting is to sit and rest and allow the Lord to bless you, and as your response to walk into it. Isn't that amazing? But I thought to myself, honestly, back in September, Joshua, you know what? I have a huge amount more respect for you because I probably would have struggled big time to walk over rough desert ground to go and walk into my inheritance. Man, you've got Jesus. He's done it for you. So what does it look like? Well, let's look at Moses. Let's go to the end of Moses' life. And he says this in Deuteronomy 34, "Then Moses went up to Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed Pisgah Peak, which is across from Jericho." We were there in September, and the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead as far as Dan, all the land of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh. This is his coming to the east side of Israel, and he's looking over the whole thing. Then the Lord said to Moses, all the land of Judah, extending to the Mediterranean Sea. So he's looking across the whole nation, the Negev, the Jordan Valley with Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to Moses, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Whenever I said, I will give it to your descendants, I have not allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but listen, you won't enter it." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, he died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. Now, this, when I think about this, I want to compare two people for you. Because Moses was a guy who had had many battles like you and I. He had seen many struggles, but he had also seen God move in incredible power. It's very poignant, though, when you get to the end of Moses' life, and this is what the Lord said to me this week. What's it going to be like for you? Let's not even go to the end of our lives, because some of us can't even see that far. But the end of 2017, as you look backwards, as you look back over your year, what's it going to be like? Is it going to be you standing on the edge of everything that God had for you, saying, "I've already promised this on oath to you. Not that you need to earn it, not that you need to fight for it, but I have promised on oath that I will give you the land. I will give you the fruit of the land. I will give you the fullness of the land. Now just go and rest in it and enjoy." But Moses, with that same promise that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, gets to the end of his life and he's standing looking over it, but he doesn't actually inherit it. Moses is going to die without ever walking into the very thing that God had called him for. Do you get that? Oh, man. Now, you might say, hold on. He saw some pretty awesome things. I would settle for a wee bit of Moses. Like, there was deliverance from Egypt, God providing supernaturally every day, and so much more. He brought people out of Egypt. That was pretty cool. Can I say to you today that when God delivers you, when he saves you, it's only the beginning. Some of us have to remind ourselves continually, the day I got saved was the start of the journey. But there is so much more from that. And it's continually dreaming with God, seeing it from his view, and saying, "God, you know, all that great deliverance in Moses' life was fine. But you know what? That's only just the start." Moses started off dead well. There was the plagues. There was the Red Sea. Remember Pharaoh and all those armies getting drowned? I mean, it was pretty big stuff. Supernatural provision. But it was all starters before a main course. The promised land was where God was leading them to, where they would enjoy bountifulness forever. Now, here's what happens. Now, listen to me. Because I am speaking and preaching to myself this week. When you get saved, and from the day that you were saved, God started your journey of grace upon grace, glory to glory. And some of us have just let that little bit of a dream die. Here's what happened with them. They started to murmur and complain, the people. They grumble. They started to demonstrate some gross selfishness and pride, actually. And instead of inheriting all that God had, they wandered around a desert for 40 years. And the imagery couldn't be more plain, could it? They wander in a dry, arid place, never at rest, and always living on the bare minimum. Imagine for Moses, though, what it was like. He gets to the end and he looks at what might have been. Now, Moses wasn't a bad man. He loved God. He took risks. He loved the people. But he never saw a dream come to pass. Now, here's the thing for Moses. He was able to look at it literally and see what he was going to miss. For us, those dreams are on the inside. God puts it and places big dreams on the inside of you. That's why I ask you to close your eyes and dream and think. I want to say to you, let's not get to the end of 2017 and say to ourselves, "I kind of saw what God was wanting to do in me, but I didn't get it. I stood on the edge of it." Moses had a promise. He said, "I told you, Moses, this is the land that I swore on covenant to give you, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to all the generations." Can I say that God on covenant, on his word, has promised you grace upon grace and glory upon glory. His word, unshakable and true. His promise, unshakable, unbreakable and true. He has promised you great, great, great experience living in the fullness and the goodness of God in 2017. But here's what it looks like. You see, I had somebody recently who said to me, look, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm blessed. And I said, you know what? That's absolutely true. Because God does not love you based on your performance. God's never made a decision about how he feels about you based on what you've done for him. It's always started with God, always initiated through Jesus. It's always Jesus' will for you, that he loves you every day. He will always, you know, let's take giving. If you never gave a penny today into our gift day, you're as righteous and as holy as you will ever be. Amen? Hey, isn't that good? Get the shackles of condemnation off you right now. You don't give a penny, that's fine. You're as holy and as righteous, and you and I will stand together in heaven worshiping Jesus forever. Isn't that cool? Oh man, that's grace for you right there. Okay? But what does that mean? Does that mean that we have nothing to do in the sense of how do you respond to grace? How do you respond to Jesus? Whenever he says, I've got this for you. You see, is it just a case of no matter what I do, then I will always end up in the purpose that God called me for? I don't believe that. I think that's presuming. And I think that's a lack of responsibility. Because whenever I encounter grace, it doesn't free me to do what I want. It frees me to do what he wants. That's how you know somebody's under grace. Do you understand that? Grace enables me to do what the Lord asks me to do. Because he leads me. He leads me. He speaks to me and he shows me and he points me in the direction. He opens doors and he closes doors. All of this sort of, but he leads me. And so I need to be led. And so that's why I love grace, because what that means is there's nothing, no sin, no condemnation, no guilt. Nothing can hold me back from choosing God. That's grace. Does that make sense to you? And so whenever, here's what's interesting about these people. They had an incredible promise. But do you want to know where Moses messed up? There was a point where it all could have been so different from him. And I believe that the moment that this all changed, and this is why I love Joshua, they'd sent 12 spies into the land. Now, no doubt, the land was nothing like they'd ever seen before. I mean, it talks about them carrying these grapes on massive things, doesn't it? Like, these were not your Tesco value grapes. You know those wee ones, like, they're about that size, and they're like vinegar. You're thinking, what the heck? You could crush these up for paint stripper. I mean, these were your Marks and Spencer's. These were Marks and Spencer's. You know those big, massive, juicy ones? £14.50 for three. You know those ones? It's a bit like that continental market. I am never... See, Christmas. Let me... You and I, let's just connect on this. Right? It's ridiculous. Have you ever been to that continental market? I agree with you. Okay. Oh, can I try a wee bit of fudge? That's £12.50. What? Hold on a wee second. It's a flippin'... It's a joke. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, and so... You get a wee 10p mix-up. What would be a 10p mix-up in proper language, right? A wee 10p mix-up, and that's £27.60. What? Aye, but they're from Germany? I don't care. They're from Germany. Anyway, I digress. And so the point is... Preach it. Somebody give me a preach it, all right? Here's where Moses messes up. It's bountiful, flowing with milk and honey. They've been wandering around for 40 years in the dust of the desert, and they see this little glimpse of what God's promise is like. It's awesome. They even get to taste it. Taste a little bit. Isn't it good? They get to bring a little back. Can you imagine what they would have been thinking like? There's those moments for us, isn't it? Where sometimes we live in an arid place, in a dry place. We love God. We know that he has a plan for us, but we're in this. We've been wandering around for a while. Okay, is the way that was going to come out right there. We've been wandering around for a while in the desert. I'm having a bad morning this morning, seriously. It's all the, do you know what? It's the Lord rebuking me for my attitude to Christmas. And they get to taste this little bit of how good God is. They get to taste that little bit. Have you had that when you see God step into your world and provide for you or that little bit of healing or that little bit of hope and encouragement, and it tastes so really, really good, doesn't it? And we go, God, I want so much more of that. I want to tell you, you need to dream for that, because that's what God has. But what happens? See, Moses, this is really interesting. Moses has received the covenant, and he's received the promise. But this is what happens whenever you start to dream, okay? Like wheat, like the tares and the wheat in Jesus' parable, when you and God get starting down to do something new in your life, when you say, I'm not going to have the same scenes replayed in my life that I had in 2016 into 2017, when there's new faith, when there's new beginnings, I want to tell you, the devil goes into overtime. Okay, this is a battle. This is what happens. It's not God who doesn't want you to succeed. It's the devil who doesn't want you to succeed. The devil wants to kill, steal, and to destroy you and your loved ones. And have you ever noticed that? At that point where you go, God, can I dare to dream again? Can I really trust that you're always leading me out of slavery into freedom? And then we start to get a little bit of resistance. Okay, when you start to, I love the way Andrew Womack puts it, when you start to mix some faith with some action, the enemy comes along. And normally three people, actually, and they go, ah, hold on, it won't work, it's too hard, you're not able, you're not called, you can't do it, God's not reliable, don't trust him. Look at what happened the last time you tried this, and that's why so many dreams die. There's so many reasons, but, you know, in verse 32 in Deuteronomy, it said that when the spies came back, what did they do? Okay, that most of them, 10 of them, they spread their report, it said. I want to say, be careful, these men were in the camp. These men were in the camp. And what they did was they spread their... You know, we get confused at times. We're Jackie Chaning the life out of the devil, aren't we? Oh, you know, I'm going to get the devil out. But actually, these people were already in there. And what they do is they weren't content to see the children of Israel succeed. Why? Because of their own dysfunction. So they spread their negativity. All right? Their confidence and trust in God is weak. It's about them and their dysfunction. So what happens is they start to spread that, and what they do is they kill you in the process. Here's what the Lord said to me this week. Be really, really careful who you give ear to, and be really, really careful where you set your gaze. Because if it's not on Jesus and his grace, if it's not on Jesus and his love, there is a danger that people who are in the camp can lead you a million miles away from where you should be. It was their fear, negativity, lack of trust and faith. It was their pride that they used to whip the people up against those who simply had a dream in their hearts and wanted to see God's fullness. So be aware of that. Be aware that sometimes people in their own mess can drain you and poison you to the dream that God has put in your heart. What do? We love them. We show them grace. We honor them, but we're not stupid. We're careful too. And here's what's really interesting for me. What's really interesting for me is Moses does something really stupid. And whenever we get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. Well, I'm not really. I'm going to send Penny to ask him, all right? I'm going to say, why is it, Moses, whenever you had the covenant, whenever you'd seen God move so mightily, whenever you knew that God had called you to lead these people out of slavery and into freedom, why is it that you listened to the people and not God? What was it went on in your heart? What was it that made people bigger than God? What was it that made their opinion more than the promise that God had spoken to your life? For us, why is it that we do that? That's why we keep our eyes on Jesus. That's why we believe in his grace. That's why we believe in his love. Because as we keep our eyes on Jesus and he becomes bigger, it drowns out those who would try to... And if you listen, it's not about those people. It's about the work of the enemy to steal the dream from your heart. Okay? Our battle is not people. We love people and we honor them no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter who they are. Our job, the only debt we have to people is to love them and to honor them wholly. But we need to be aware that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so that's what Moses does. Isn't it really interesting? He listens to the people and he sacrifices his dream and his calling on the altar of other people's mess and dysfunction. It was their fear, their pride, their insecurity when they came back. It was their selfishness that overshadowed the promise, the calling, and the purpose that God had. And I want to say to you, don't do the same. Can I just say, I'm not going to do the same. I'm not going to do it. Not a chance. Not a chance. So Moses dies on the east side, looking at what might have been. And when I thought about this week, I thought, hey, do you know what? I just felt the Lord say, but hey, the new generation, the generation of grace that God led, were entirely different. I want to say that I do not believe for one minute, and I'm not prophesying over you, that by the end of 2017, that you will die on the east side. East side. And okay. You like that? What do you do, like that? Okay, you're going to die on the... you're going to die on the east side because you do not have the spirit of law, you have the spirit of grace this morning. You've got the spirit of Jesus in you. And let's look at Joshua. He's a type of Jesus. Let me compare it. Because I want to be like Joshua. Here's the cool thing about Joshua. For every voice, Joshua and Caleb, who said, I have a promise. I'm going to dream big dreams. Hey, do you know what? Of course there's giants in the land, and they're flipping huge. But my God is bigger than those giants. Amen. My call is bigger than my challenge. I might think that I can despair here, but the hope that God puts in my heart is so much bigger than what I can see with my eyes. And for every voice, Joshua and Caleb, that said that, there was five times more that came against them. Do you get that? That's the maths, if you want to work it out. I want to be like Joshua, and God has said that we have like a spirit of Joshua on this church because he was a guy of grace. He still wanted to go for it, even though he saw the challenges and the people in the camp coming against him. And he became a leader, and some of the most used verses in the Old Bible, in the Old Testament, in relation to God's instruction, are the verses that we hear and see so much today. Joshua 1:9, this is my command, says God, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is what? He's with you wherever you may go. So don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. That means you're going to have plenty of opportunity to be. Because if the Lord comes along and tells you not to be discouraged, it's because he knows that there will be things that come your way to discourage you. I wonder if Joshua ever thought, man, I've missed it. 40 years of wandering around, have I missed it? Has my opportunity passed me by? After coming back, years and years of doing that, I probably would have thought, I've missed it. Let me speak into you if that's what you think. God's grace for you, God's love for you, God's mercy for you are new every morning. You listen to me. There are people in here who have said, I'm going to stand and I'm afraid I'm going to miss what God called me for. Because I may have listened to people. I may have taken a wrong turn at some time. I may have wandered around in the desert, even though I knew that God has had a call in my life. And I felt the Lord step into your life today and say, hey, get your head up. Get your heart up because I am calling you to dream a big dream again. Because you know why I've raised you up? God said, I've raised you up for this purpose, so that people encounter Jesus, so that people grow in his love. I've raised you up, says God, so that you discover the purpose that I've called you for. And as you discover that purpose and you start to use it and all the gifting and the grace that I've given you, you will thrive in life. You will reign in life. That's what I've called you for. That's what I've called this church for. That's what he says. Can you dream that again? Can you say, I'm going to look at my failure differently and go, my failure is not fatal. It's yesterday, it's not today, because when grace comes, you see, under the law, Moses was absolutely knackered. He had no chance under the law because he kept messing it up and the people kept messing it up. But actually, when it comes to grace, it says it doesn't matter what happened yesterday because today is new. I need to reprogram some of our thinking, and you need to do it too, to go, I have thought that God had said, I missed it. Or I am missing it. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Joshua, just like the spirit of grace in Joshua, said, I see it the way that God sees it. I believe it the way that God sees it. I receive his grace and his promise. And whenever I walk into this land, to Jericho and to beyond, it will be God who opens the doors for me. And I simply have got to walk in and to receive the inheritance that he has for me. Do you get that? That's what he has for you, folks. That's what he has for me. Does that make sense? Pick yourself up again this morning. Look at Jesus. Believe in his promise. Understand that all you need is already there on the inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you need? Do you need love? Do you need strength? Do you need courage? Do you need boldness? Do you need hope? Do you need vision this morning? What is it? It's already there. It's already been given to you. It's already been placed in you. That's what we believe about grace. Everything I need is already there. You don't need to go to God today and say, Lord, in 2017, would you help? Would you provide? We simply need to recalibrate and go, I'm not going to die on the east side here. I'm not going to look over all that God had for me. and miss it. I'm going to get back to that place where Jesus is front and center, where he's going to lead me, where I'm going to allow that big dream. Because if you don't want to dream big, I have a feeling that you're going to miss it. It sounds so completely ludicrous. It sounds ludicrous to me. Well, seriously, the life of a pastor is an interesting one. Mostly good, sometimes not so good. More discouragement than encouragement, okay? And the Lord reminded me again and again and again this week. If you let the dream die that I put in your heart, which I'm not going to do ever, it might get pushed, might get squeezed, but it ain't ever going to die. You know why? Because more and more in this church, we're aligning with the vision that God has for people. He wants them saved. He wants them to encounter Jesus in all of his grace, all of his beauty, and all of his glory. He wants them to grow deep into the love that he has. He wants them to understand and uncover the length, the breadth, and the depth, and the height of his love. He wants them to discover the purpose for which he put breath in them and he called them. And he wants them to use that so that they thrive and that they reign in life. Yeah. Amen? That's what we're about. That's what this is about. That's a big vision, isn't it? That's a big dream. And as I've meditated on that this week, all of my stuff seems so insignificant. And I go, God, in all of my mess and my insecurity and my nonsense, you're saying dream again? But I've messed it up. Of course you have. It was never about you anyway. What about dreaming the big dream that I have? What about aligning with my big heart and my big purpose? God, it'll be the biggest adventure you've ever had. What about seeing thousands of men and women and children come out of slavery, out of Egypt, and into grace? Can you dream with me for a minute? How many more seats are we going to need this time next year, folks? I'm believing for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more seats in this place. Why? Because it's God's heart to bring people out of Egypt. That's the dream that you have. You know? Anyone? What about the people in your life today who are far from God, who are wandering around the desert lost and dry? What about seeing them encounter him, discover his love, find their purpose and thrive? What about that? How many more seats are we going to need as people discover the God who loves them? They discover a life free from religion and all of its bounds and actually discovering that God loves them so. Huh, man. What about those people who are sick? What about those people who today die of cancer, but because you have the power of God in you, when you lay your hands on them, they can become well? What about those people? What about the people today who are in poverty and can't break out of that? For this purpose, God says, I've raised you up that I might show my power to who? To all of the nations through you. That's a big dream. Don't let it die. You're part of it. You're grafted in. You're called in and you're equipped by the Lord. And I love it. This is what Joshua had. Joshua had that spirit that went, there is no chance of us. The land is good. It's full of promise. What God said is true, but there ain't no way in God's green earth that we're going to do it. It's going to have to be him, but I believe. But I believe. And so I am going to put my trust in him. I'm going to put my faith in him, and I'm going to go at it 100%. Yeah. And what happens? Let me go to the end of Joshua's life, Joshua 24. Because he sees supernatural the whole way. He sees breakthrough the whole way, over the Jordan, into Jericho, and beyond. Many battles, but a bigger God with bigger victories. And with this I finish. After Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. That's a good old age to go, isn't it? They buried him in the land he had been allocated. Hey, listen. Oh, I wish I had time to explain this. He finished his days right in the middle of what God had promised him. Do you get that? Away, way, way, way back when the spies came back and they said, this is right, the covenant is right, it's good, taste it, look and see. And at the end of his days, here's this guy laid to rest right in the middle of what God had said he was always going to give him. Oh, that's where I want to go. I don't want to shuffle off this mortal coil on a bus trip to Newcastle one day. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Put my head down. What happened to your man in row 6? I don't know. He carked it somewhere around Cross Car. I don't want to do that. I want to be right in the middle of God's promise. Help him, Jesus. I want to be right in the middle. I want to be right in the middle of it. Seeing people saved. Seeing people encounter the love of God and grow and deepen it. The incredible richness of His grace. Discovering that purpose, man, and then living in it. I want to be doing that to the day I take my last. And I want my friends and my family with me. I want my church having such a huge impact that many tens of thousands of men and women come to know Jesus as Lord. Amen. That's a big dream, and don't you dare let it die. Because He's right in the middle of the land that He's allocated at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Right at the end, compare and contrast. And what was the difference? The difference was he dared to believe. He saw the same thing that everyone else saw. He probably had the same doubts that everyone else had. He probably had some of the same misgivings. But because he had a spirit that said, he promised, he is able, him, not me. Do you get that? That's grace. Not me, but him. He walked straight in. And for the rest of his days, he led the people to inherit. What dream have you got? What dream have you got?